Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. So I'm not sure how much of this that I'll get to, but I hope I'll get to most of it. As you know from my last couple of writings, I've been touched is the wrong word, but concerned spiritually, disturbed, about how this country and other places in the world have treated indigenous peoples. And I'm not sure exactly what to say about that because it's such a broad topic. And as a country, at least, we are thinking about what it means to be reconciled and what it means to be forgiven as we look at the plight of people of color and people of different backgrounds, different ethnic groups. At least we're paying attention, and that, I think, is good. This morning in the gospel, Jesus asked them if they're prepared to drink the cup that he's about to drink. And they say, of course we are, but they have no idea what that cup really is. They have no idea that he's referring in many ways. Part of this treatise is that he's referring to his resurrection, not actually his baptism, although he does move to his baptism. Power. Power is an amazing thing. Choose me, choose me. From an early age, children learn to pick their teammates according to ability. I would guess rarely, if ever, the worst ball player was picked first to see which team he would, when putting together a team. Usually, those who don't play very well were left sitting on the bench waiting to see which team will be forced to include them. We all desire at some point, in some way, somewhere, to be the top dog. To win often outweighs our willingness to become a loser, no matter the cost. It seems we're maybe more willing to teach our children that the benefits of being a winner far outweigh the benefits that can come through losing, the benefits that come from being kind. Because sometimes winners are not so kind to those that lose, and vice versa. James and John tried to get ahead of the game by pulling Jesus aside, saying, come on, Jesus, we got to tell you something. We got to ask you something. And of course, Jesus went to see what was going on. And of course, you know, they requested to be seated at his right and left hand in the kingdom. And I can almost see Jesus rolling his eyes like, oh my gosh, do I have to go through this one more time? Don't they get it yet? Because we're very close in the story of Mark to his crucifixion. You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink of the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Of course we are, they say. We are able. We deserve to be at your right and your left hand. And Jesus tells him, yes, you will drink that cup, and you will be baptized with which I am baptized. You will be baptized, but to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but for those for whom it is prepared. I always wondered about that. I'm like, okay, Jesus, this is one of those things like, Jesus, could you just have said one more sentence? Who is the person that prepared that place? Is it you or is it God? One of those interesting, fun, I wonder things. But they still don't really get it. And now the other 10 are annoyed because James and John busted up in front of the line. Of course, they all wanted the same thing. They all wanted the power. They all wanted the recognition. They all wanted to be on the team, the number one team. So Jesus had to kind of settle them all down, which he had to do frequently. And in his frustration of them not getting it, I am not compelled, but I am moved to ask the question, do we get it? Do I get it? Do I really understand the depth of what it is that Jesus did for us? And can we lose ourselves in order to gain ourselves, as it says in the first reading? The Reverend Dr. Bradley Hoff is the missioner for Indigenous Ministries on the presiding bishop's staff. And in comment on Indigenous Peoples Day, this is part of what he said. It dispels the myth and the atrocity of white dominance. It tells Indigenous people that we are not relics of the past, that we are very much still here, and we are a significant part of the American story. And the church should be a central part of making this transition happen. The church. I'm not sure how many churches actually talk about this very much. But it's time that we did. When you think about the vast injustice that was done to the people that were here already, it's pretty overwhelming. In our baptismal covenant, we are asked some questions. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? I will, with God's help. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I will, with God's help. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? I will, with God's help. See, we can't do any of these alone. We don't have the power. The power goes to God. And when we go to God, we then have a place of relative power that allows us to go into the world in the name of Christ and preach justice and peace among all people, and above all, respect the dignity of every human being. I will, with God's help. John the Baptist's followers come to Jesus and they ask him, "Are you the one? Are you the one, or should we wait for somebody else?" And Jesus doesn't give them a simple answer. He merely says, "Look around, see what's happening, and take that news to John, and y'all figure it out." Yeah, he did say y'all. His action is aligned with his testimony. When he says, "This is what I'm doing, and this is who I am, but you need to take it out. You need to take it to John. You need to see it for yourself." And each one of us needs to see for ourselves the glory of Jesus in our lives. It's so easy to put that aside, and it's so easy to say, "Well, Jesus just wasn't there." But dag nabbit, he is. See for yourself. Look around in your life and look for the miracles. Look for the little things and maybe even the big things that remind us how important God is and where God is, and he is indeed in our lives. So in all of this, the one thing that I choose to do, is to share a reading from the letter of Chief Seattle, who was an advocate for peace and friendship with the white settlers. This is, he's remembered for this speech that he gave, which was during treaty negotiations with the government, where he expressed a hope for peace, for coexistence, and respect for the environment. Those things that we desire have not changed. Peace, coexistence, respect for the environment. That was in 18-something. He died in 1866. These are his words. "The president in Washington sends word that he wishes to buy our land. But how can you buy or sell the sky? The land. The idea is strange to us. If we do not own the freshness of the air and the sparkle of the water, how can we buy them? Every part of the earth is sacred to my people. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every meadow, every humming insect, all are holy in the memory and experience of my people. We know the sap which courses through the trees as we know the blood that courses through our veins. We are part of the earth, and it is part of us. The perfume flowers are our sisters, the bear, the deer, the great eagle, they are our brothers. The rocky crests, the dew in the meadow, the body heat of the pony, and people all belong to the same family. The shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not just water, but the blood of our ancestors. If we sell you our land, you must remember that it is sacred. Each glossy reflection in the clear waters of the lakes tells of events and memories in the life of my people. The water's murmur is the voice of my father's father, my mother's mother. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. They carry our canoes and feed our children. So you must give the rivers the kindness that you would give any brother. If we sell our land, remember that the air is precious to us, that the air shares its spirit with all the life that it supports. The wind that gave our grandfather his first breath also received his last sigh. The wind also gives our children the spirit of life. Will you teach your children what we have taught our children? That the earth is our mother. What befalls the earth befalls all the children of the earth. This we know. Earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. All things are connected like the blood that unites us all. We did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. One thing we know, our God is also your God. One thing we know, which white people may one day discover, our God is the same God. You may think that you own God as you wish to own our land, but you cannot. God's compassion is equal for red people and white. The earth is precious to God, and to harm the earth is to heap contempt on its creator. Your destiny is a mystery to us. What will happen when the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses tamed? What will happen when the secret corners of the forest are heavy with the scent of many people and the view of the ripe hills is blotted with talking wires? Where will the thicket be? Gone. Where will the eagle be? Gone. And what it is to say goodbye to the swift pony and the hunt. The end of living and the beginning of survival. When the last red people have vanished with his wilderness and their memory is only the shadow of a cloud moving across the prairie, will these shores and forests still be here? Will there be any spirit of my people left? We love this earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. So if we sell you our land, love it as we have loved it. Care for it as we have cared for it. Hold it in your mind, the memory of the land, as it is when you receive it. Preserve the land for all children and love it as God loves us. We are part of the land, and you are part of the land. This earth is precious to you. It is also precious to us. One thing we know, there is only one God. No one, either red or white, can be apart. We are all brothers and sisters, after all. This is the word of God. Chief Seattle, in his wisdom, said it way far better than I could ever imagine saying it. And as I look around and I look at the creation and the things that are going on, the simple things that we can change, when I see people throwing their McDonald's bags out in the middle of the street, it's just something small. But really, really, you can't just take it home and put it somewhere, you know, in the trash. You have to trash the environment. The way we are not using our resources wisely. It seems that in our country specifically, and in other countries as well, it's all about choose me. Don't choose God. Don't choose the creation. Choose me. We as Christians have the ability and the call, more than the call, to change this. So I invite you as you go out into the world to try and be more cognizant, and I know many of you are cognizant, of our creation. And maybe there's something small that you can do to change it. I don't know what it is. I've got to tell you that some days when I recycle, I think, really, why am I doing this? You know, you got to rinse out the cans. You got to crush them and stuff. But then I say to myself, you know, this can be recycled. This can be something that I can do to honor the creation. So go out into the world and know that our God is everyone's God, and everyone's God is indeed our God. We're all brothers and sisters, after all. Amen. I invite you to stand and